What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Hot Take, where I, along with my co-hosts Nat and Lawrence, give you our hottest takes on all things NBA. Yes, it is the off season, so things have been a little bit slow. We kind of took a 1 week hiatus. We're back. Nat and I in the booth. What's up, Nat? How you been, bro?
I've been good. Just real quick, I want to shout out Lawrence. We played ball this morning, and we were cooking. We were cooking. I'll say that. I'll leave it at that.
Did you say like we or he?
We as in me and Lawrence.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
We had a nice run, a little 3-on-3. We were just passing the ball like Stockton. It was beautiful. It was
oh,
art.
Man.
It was basketball art.
It was
art
like
right there.
Some MJ and Pippen going on there.
I would say more LeBron and Kyrie. I think that's the better accurate and better duo comparison, I would say. So
No, absolutely not.
Yep.
Definitely not. Definitely not. So first and foremost, TFTI, appreciate the invite.
I did invite you. You just couldn't make it. Hey, you got to come correct. All right. You got to bring the receipts. I can't risk that. I can't risk being misunderstood here.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
I'm sure if I was there, we probably would have lost, but good thing I wasn't there. Man, it's been a while. I feel like it's been a while since we recorded, so much so that we didn't even talk about the closing of the Olympics. So I guess that's where I kind of wanted to start off today. I just want to say this first and foremost. I am so grateful that Draymond Green does, or anybody for Team USA for that matter, doesn't listen to this podcast.
No,
if they did, even now, I still owe.
Listen to you, because I said they would win gold, so I'm all good.
I owe Team USA an apology. I did not believe they did defeat France. That they won by like what was it, 5 or 7 points, something like that, 4 points.
Yeah.
It was a good game. I'm not gonna lie. Like I enjoyed the entirety of the game. Rudy Gobert in international play is that guy. Like
in pick and roll he's that
was
guy.
A problem.
It was every play was high pick and roll. Every play that they were drawing was just pick and roll. He just was attacking them.
If he was a better free throw shooter, it probably would have been a little bit closer.
Yes, he went full on Ben Simmons. Yes,
a little bit, but nevertheless, like it was. I enjoyed it. I think that was the first full Team USA game that I saw. I had
me too.
I had more faith in the women's USA team, which they also won gold for, I don't know, the umpteenth consecutive Olympics, where you have freaking Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi winning like their 9th Olympic gold for Team USA. Like,
is it 9th?
Fifth? I don't know. No, it's 5th. I think.
Yeah.
It goes back to 2004, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
4, 8, 12, 16. Yeah. They're 5th, which I think is a record for USA basketball, men's or women's.
Yeah.
So shout out and props to them. What was your take? Okay. So you differed from I, where you had full faith in Team USA winning gold. What was the reason behind that?
History, man. I mean, granted, we did not win gold that 1 year, but I like when you have Kevin Durant on your team, the best player, you know, one of the best players in the league, I think it's just hard to beat. When I looked at the team, it was not full of like these high box office names like a LeBron or a Steph or a Kyrie, but you had people like Draymond, Bam, and Jrue Holiday who are great defensively. And I think the biggest part was Jrue Holiday because he played up against Evan Fournier 100%. Game. He was playing great defense on Fournier, and he was probably like one of the main reasons why they won. KD is just, you know, he's just KD. Top three. Yeah. Dropped 29 points in that game. But I think what helped him out during the end was having Draymond out there to have Rudy just stay away from the paint, create space. Tatum and Dame showed up that game. The rest was like Middleton wasn't his best. Levine wasn't as productive, but when you have like those three stars, Tatum, Dame, and KD, you can't really go wrong with that trio. But I said that they win gold just because I wanted to be different from what you were saying. And I was right. Thank God. Because now you have to unfortunately make up for what you said. So I can't wait to hear this apology. Yes. Please go on and apologize.
Oh no. I mean, I
the skill is unmatched. Already.
You know, I was
the skill is unmatched.
I was incorrect. props to KD, man, because I mean, he's now the all-time leading scorer for Team USA in Olympic basketball.
I think he has more gold medals than anyone else, right? He has 3. Well, I mean, currently, because I think Melo has 2 and so is LeBron or something like that. I forget, but
I mean, it's he surpassed Melo during this Olympics for the most points for Team USA, and it's not a small feat. I mean, you got some pretty big names up there, and Melo, for people who didn't watch Melo in the Olympics, like, he was that guy. He was the unstoppable person for Team USA because his size, speed, and shooting, no other team could compete with that. And now you have a 7-footer doing it who's faster, more agile, and has a better touch. You know, it is pretty remarkable to watch. Also, props to Jrue Holiday. I mean, just winning, constantly winning. Winning the NBA, the NBA championship, winning an Olympic gold medal. He joins his wife as being, you know, Olympic gold medalist now.
Yeah.
Power couple right there. Draymond, I feel like, especially this past season, actually the last 2 seasons, people have been sleeping on Draymond, saying like he's washed up, he's done.
He can't score. You know,
he's not the same. Can't score. The whole 9 yards. But like, he does, like, his IQ, like, that is unmatched to me. And you see it. There was one play in the final game against France where somebody was shooting a free throw. He had the knowledge and the whereabout, because in international play, there is no goaltending. There's no defensive goaltending. And once the ball is in the vicinity of the rim, and he smacked the ball off the rim in order to give Team USA the rebound, which...
And that was on the stretch, too.
It was, yes.
So it was pretty critical.
That was the home stretch. It was critical. That just goes to show that this guy does his homework, man. Like, I understand he can't shoot. I understand, like, he can't score. But you saw how pivotal his role was for Team USA. And not everybody can do what Draymond does. So I have a much greater appreciation for Draymond. I've always had great appreciation for Draymond, but I'm also one of those people who bought into the, oh, he can't shoot, he can't score, but it's very much so everything else that he does, even defensively. You know,
yeah,
he was crazy. I will not apologize for this, though. I still say that this roster was not the most well-composed roster I've seen.
No.
And I think it could have been dramatically better, drastically better.
Yeah. And Kelvin Johnson, who's this guy?
I mean, he did show out for a couple games.
Yeah.
He was that spark plug that they needed to kind of get themselves like in the routine of things, if you will. Shout out to Greg Popovich. A lot of people were saying like he wasn't, like, especially those 2 early losses. They're like, yeah, you know, he's not cut out to replace Coach K.
Also, props to Draymond for clapping back at all these media personalities on Twitter, and I'm calling 100%. Them out.
That's why I was so thankful that he doesn't listen to this podcast and listen to me going off, because he definitely would have said something. I wanted to bring this up and get your take on it. Even though Team USA won, I saw it like on social media the next day, the final score, because they only won by, it was single digits. And like everybody was like, oh, you know, old Team USA's would have won by like 50, they would have won by 30, would have been double digits, it would have been a blowout. Like, this team sucked, you know, they almost lost it. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Like, no,
don't do that.
Are you kidding me?
Like, from my point of view, my point of view, I think that these international teams have gotten better. You know, like you see,
that's exactly my point.
You see half of France have 8 NBA current players in the NBA. You see Luka carry his team to nearly the final. Like, this is not like this is not child's play anymore. Like people are evolving, getting better at the sport, better at the game. And then we have people who are in the NBA who are also playing overseas, international, when it comes to these times. So it's a whole different, what's it called? Whole different experience, because now we have more experienced players, more evolved players as well, you know?
I was actually like kind of, I thought it was a little bit disrespectful to other countries.
Yeah.
Because other countries have really started to catch up to the US. I mean, look at Nigeria, for crying out loud. They beat Team USA in the exhibition game. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I think that was also chemistry, though. It was a chemistry experiment, though. Like, it was just them trying to get, you know, their
right
chemistry.
They probably would have lost. Like, nevertheless, but nevertheless, like, you know,
still a problem.
If this was if this was 10 years ago, Nigeria would have been blown out regardless. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's just the growth of basketball globally. I think just makes the Olympics so much more competitive, so much more exciting. I feel like the women's basketball is slowly starting to get there. The the semifinals for Team USA for WNBA for the women's team was a little bit more exciting than the actual final because they blew out Japan in the final. I didn't even realize Japan was in the final, honestly. But yeah, I just thought it was a little bit disrespectful to other countries because, I mean, other countries are really starting to catch up to us. And Kobe Bryant said it, like, there's going to be a point in time where, like, Team USA, you got to watch out. Like, you can't be sleeping on all these other nations because
it's
going to happen. You know what I mean? Now. Like, we can't get too comfortable. So, like,
it's probably like 1 year for KD, everybody's done, and who else is going to carry this mantle, you know?
Exactly.
Yikes.
Exactly. That's where you got JT, you know, Jason Tatum going to have to step up in international play. And Bam, they're going to kind of have to carry the torch there, if you will, so to speak. But that was one of the things I wanted to bring up since the last time we met was Team USA. The other thing I wanted to bring up was, of course, there was Summer League. There's a lot of Summer League games going on. Were there any Summer League stories or players or anything like that that kind of stood out to you, caught your eye, things that you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, so the one game that I actually, like, tuned in for and watched a good amount of was when Cade and Jalen faced off, so Rockets and Pistons.
Good one.
That one game. I just wanted to see, like, if it was, like, you know, obviously, like, 1 versus 2. There's, like, the whole backstory of Jalen being wanted to be first pick. But Cade cooked him, so there was that. But Jalen Green, like, I obviously he reps our country, the Philippines. So yeah. I have a slight reason to
bias
for this guy, a slight bias, right?
Right.
But other than that, like, I didn't really tune in much to Summer League. What I did see was LeBron and Russ in the audience. Great, great to see that they will be champions soon. But yeah, I mean, other than that, we saw the final was what? It was Boston and Sacramento.
Yes.
Sacramento wins. Like, they just win these league chips, but not an actual title. So good for them, I guess. Like, congrats, question mark. But yeah, I don't know. How about you?
I guess I'll lead off with that one, the final game, which was a little bit surprising to me because I hadn't really followed either of those teams too closely. But I knew, like, Peyton Pritchard, like, you know, he's legit. He even, like, went to that Seattle Pro-Am and dropped like 92 points and then came back for the final game for Summer League, which I thought was wild.
He's playing Mike James, bro.
But bro, Davion Mitchell had him on clamps, bro. Like, he was locked down. Couldn't do nothing on Davion. The Kings ended up blowing out the Celtics. It was wild. But in regards to the Celtics, I was surprised because they made it that far. Props to them because their last year's rookies really showed out in the Summer League, Peyton Pritchard and Nesmith. And it was wild because when you think about it, a lot of these second-year guys that were playing in the Summer League, when you think about it, you have to take into account they didn't have a Summer League last year. They didn't even have a training camp. So those rookies last year who maybe people are like, oh, they're kind of whack. Like, oh, they're not that good. Like, this person is a lottery pick. Like, you have to take that into account. There was no Summer League. There was no training camp. It was straight all season, then boom, regular season. Let's get right into it. And, like, you see the importance of the Summer League. Like, look at, man, Jalen Green, Cade Cunningham. Like, those guys are going off. And then one of the biggest names that – one of the steals of the draft, if you will, for the Brooklyn Nets –
Cam Thomas. Yeah.
That boy can hoop, man.
That team's already good. And now he's got, oh, God. They got Patty and Cam come off the bench. Like, oh, great.
That's what I'm saying. This
is going to be interesting.
Another name that stood out to me, the replacement for Alex Caruso. My boy, Mac McClung.
Wait, pause. Like, how is that roster, like, going to be, like, so is there going to be, like a rookie spot there? Or are they trying to fill the last two with, like, other players? I don't know. But he could be a replacement. You're right. Mac McClung.
He could be.
Yeah.
He could be. There's potential there. He might surprise LeBron. LeBron might be like, LeBron being the GM might be like, all right, Mac, it's your time to shine. You're going to be the new baby goat. Let's do this.
It's going to be like Steve Kerr in the bench. Like, I got it. Yeah. Steve Kerr to MJ.
Exactly.
I got it.
Exactly.
I'll be ready.
So that's your team. I know, like, Lawrence's team did pretty well. The Knicks, you know, their rookies did, you know, they showed out a little bit.
How about yours? Yeah. Mike Strus.
I was proud of my team.
Is that his name?
Max Strus.
Max Strus. Sorry. Max Strus. Yes. That's him. I said Mike Strus. My bad.
Max Strus is, I joke about this on the show all the time. It's so cliche. He's the definition of a Heat culture guy.
You always say that. It's hard to believe, you know.
Definition of it.
You just keep saying it.
So there was a clip, right, where he had his guys in a huddle. I think they were losing by a little bit or something. I don't remember what the case was. Mm-hmm. But he was, like, trying to get his guys to calm down. He's like, what do you guys see over there? He's like, all those guys over there on the other side, they're drafted. We're undrafted. Let's prove to them that we belong in this league. And I'm like, yo, I love that.
I love, you know,
talk your talk. Like, show out. Yeah, Max went off.
Yeah.
He even hit that dagger, like that, I forgot, sudden death, the sudden death three-point shot.
Yeah.
There's one game that went into overtime. They won the tip-off, walked it up, drilled a three, game. And, like, he was cool, calm, and collected. Like,
yeah.
Max Strus. But the biggest name, not Max Strus for Miami Heat, Omer Yurtseven. Turkish player.
All right.
Seven footer with range, touch, speed, handle. He could rebound. He could defend. I'm telling you, bro. I'm telling you, Miami signed him. They officially signed him. They signed him last year, and he was for their G League team. Like, he was going off during G League. And then seeing him in Summer League to actually see highlights of him, I'm like, wow. Like, this guy has the potential to be a quote unquote unicorn. And I think he's legit. I know you're laughing. I know, like,
yes,
because I'm a Heat guy, but I'm telling you, Miami, they find these guys. I mean,
no, it's great, but your team's gonna be out in the first round. So it doesn't really matter what moves you guys do. So it's hard to tell you now, but just to help you out, save you some time, you know,
I love Miami. My hope is that they make it to the finals. I doubt that they will. But one thing is for sure is that your Lakers are not going to win this year. Definitely not.
Oh my gosh, you're funny.
Telling you, man. It's going to be Brooklyn. It's going to be Brooklyn.
No, it's not. I'm going to say healthy, you know, for a while. There's no way.
Harden, Kyrie, your boy Kyrie. You now have Cam Thomas, Patty Mills. You bring back Joe Harris.
James
Johnson.
You kind of on Joe Harris in the playoffs?
Bruce Brown. You got Nick Claxton. You got Blake Griffin back. You got DJ.
All right. Besides DJ, who is their biggest guy there besides DJ?
Blake. Nick Claxton.
Blake. So it's going to be Dwight Howard, Cam Thomas. AD. Dwight Howard, AD against Blake and I guess who else? I guess KD because he's 7 foot. Like,
yeah.
Oh, good luck with that.
Yeah, okay. Good luck for the Lakers trying to slow down that three-headed monster of scoring output.
Hey. We got Russ. We got AD. And we got super washed. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Feed him.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
I want to say that one.
Okay.
But my argument is you're talking about Russ can't close in final minutes. Like, he disappears. His shot just...
So does James Harden. So we're good.
Okay, but then you have Kyrie. You have Kyrie and KD. Bro. KD is arguably the best player on the planet. The best scorer on the planet.
Yes. Yes.
And then you have Kyrie, who's at least top five best scorer on the planet.
I'm not worried. I'm not worried. Bro, did we not see that one Wizards game when both of them had good looks to win the game? They both missed.
One game.
Okay, so can you imagine them playing the Lakers in this one
game?
They are
6 inches. They were 6 inches from being NBA champions. 6 inches.
You're right. But didn't happen. Actually, no, it's good.
Didn't happen.
It's good because then we saw the emergence of Giannis. So I'm grateful for that. I'm glad that they didn't win.
Right.
So,
and I think it helps them in the long run, because I said this before. I said this at the beginning of the season. I said it. I told you guys, Brooklyn was not going to win this year.
They weren't fully healthy.
They could win. I that's exactly my point. It wasn't based on skill or talent or roster construction. It was the fact that you don't know what the variables are in terms of health. You don't know who's going to show up, who's going to disappear. You don't know who they're going to face in the playoffs.
So that now does not apply to this current season. Well, this next season. You're saying that they're going to win now. So that doesn't apply.
No, but see, if you remember what I said last season, I said this Brooklyn Nets team has not faced adversity yet. They have now tasted adversity. They know what it's like to play with injuries. They know what it's like to have their star players out of a lineup. They know what it feels like to have to rely on bench guys to produce. And those bench guys are going to be the keys for this season. That's why I said that they weren't going to win last year, but it could be this year. And I fully believe they're going to win this year. The reason I say that is very reminiscent of that LeBron Heat, team where they lose in 2011 to the Mavs, and then they go on to win the next year because they have that bad taste in their mouth of losing. They didn't face real adversity. And now that they were able to, simmer in that, and they went on to win, next two championships, is going to be the same thing for Brooklyn. Like, if you saw how KD played in the Olympics, you saw how he played.
Yeah.
He's going to come out with the same tenacity this season. And you know darn well that Kyrie is going to be the same way. Now, on the flip side, because you brought it up, the blasphemy that I've been seeing on social media, the disrespect.
Pure blasphemy.
To LeBron James. I'm not even a huge LeBron James fan, but.
No, you're a hater.
On this podcast.
You're a hater. It's okay.
No. It's only when it comes to the GOAT debate. But I've never discredited his skill and his ability and his IQ, his prowess all around.
Yeah.
I always said that he's not the greatest, but he will be the best to ever play. Hands down. Best to ever do it. But when it seemed like he got no votes. He got no votes.
It was like a 10 executive, 10 person survey, whatever, right? Was it that was it legit or just like a kind of like a side thing? I'm not even sure what it was, but
I think they do it like from time, like I think every year they come out with a list, like, which team is gonna win, gonna win MVP, like who's the best player. But to get no votes?
That's crazy though. I don't know I don't know which executives they're asking for this, but man.
Not even one. I thought that was ultra disrespectful because whether you like LeBron or not, you cannot deny his physical, mental ability and tools, especially on the court. You don't you don't have to like him as a person, but as a basketball player, like you can't deny it. Like the dude can still ball, even at 37 years old, he can still hoop.
Yeah, exactly.
And now I guess he kind of needed it or whatever the case is, because now you poke the bear, if you will.
Here's the narrative. We've got it now.
Yeah. All season long, this past season, he was searching for a narrative, talking about, I'm never going to be the same after my ankle sprain.
Yeah.
Talking about all this other stuff, trying to find like the narrative. This is the perfect narrative. Maybe it was all planned. Maybe he reached out to these executives and be like, don't give me votes. Like, I'll pay you off. I need this.
What a tactic. as if oh, Russ being on the Lakers wasn't enough, because that's also being harshly criticized by everybody, like right. that, and also like being called, you know, having no votes or being hashtag washed. It's gonna be great to see LeBron bounce, you know, show out, bounce back from this. I can't wait to see it, because last even time this 2K. Happened, yes, 2K. Yes.
Even 2K did him dirty. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, actually,
like,
no, because they just won't say who the best player is. They gave four people a 96 rating. Steph, LeBron, right. Giannis, and KD. It's like, who is it? Like, you guys is...
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, like, just give someone 97. Like, who is it?
Right, right. But to your Russell Westbrook point, that baffles me too. Like, everybody thinks, like, this dude is washed. Like, I promise you. Now he's playing with LeBron. Like, nothing against Bradley Beal, nothing against James Harden. But when you're playing with a LeBron James and you have the security blanket of an Anthony Davis, man, watch out.
Yeah.
Russ is
gonna, he's home.
He's not going to put up crazy numbers. He's not going to put up crazy stats. But there's going to be plays where you're going to be like, did this man just do that? Like, yeah. You will be baffled.
Yeah, exactly. Because look at it. Like, when LeBron sat, it was Dennis Schroeder who was carrying the second unit. Now it could be Russ, mm-hmm. or it could be Kane Nunn. Like it's we've got depth. All right, we're back. We are back. We'll be in the finals again. Don't worry.
I think Kendrick Nunn will do well for you, even though he'll be fine. It's sad that the Dennis Schroeder situation losing out on all that money to sign with the Bumbling Boston Celtics the for like
for like chips and guac, it wasn't even that much money.
It's wild, because you always hear the saying, take the money, take the money, take the money. Unless you're like Giannis and they're offering you like chump change, then yeah, go get money elsewhere. But you didn't even play well last season. Don't turn down that money, man. Like, just take it. Just take it.
Also, we always hear the phrase, bet on yourself. But this was not a case for that at all. This was the one thing where you shouldn't have bet on yourself.
Quit while you're ahead. You know what I mean? Like, you're in a good situation.
Yeah.
You don't have to, like, ante up or anything like that, or, like, place another bet. Like, what you have is good while you're ahead.
Oh my gosh. 6 million from 84 mil to six. That's down bad.
Man, that is down so bad.
Down horrendous,
so
man.
So bad. Talking about being down bad, Rajon Rondo went from like a pretty good situation in LA to being traded to Memphis to then being traded to the Timberwolves.
No. Pat Bev. Rondo is currently still in the Grizzlies. Right now, but
Pat Bev, that's what it is.
Yeah,
that's my mistake.
It's okay.
My mistake.
But actually, yes. I actually wanted Pat Bev to stay on the Grizzlies. Could you imagine him and Dylan Brooks together on one team?
Gosh, grit and grind all season long.
That would be a nasty combination.
That team would be so nasty. That's right. Pat Bev went to Minnesota, mm-hmm. Which I think could be a good thing for Minnesota. They kind of need that veteran presence in the locker room that I always talk about.
They need more than that, but. They need more than the veteran presence. They need Jesus.
Watch Anthony Edwards this season, though. Mark my words. Here it is.
Oh.
What's today? August 21.
Oh my gosh. Here we go again.
Mark my words. Anthony Edwards, he's gonna go off next season. Watch.
No, he's not. He's gonna bowl, he's gonna rap, he's gonna do tennis, he's gonna do golf, he's gonna do all these other things, man.
And he's gonna win most improved player. Watch.
Ooh.
Watch.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You heard
it here first, folks. You heard it here first. I agree completely. It would have been dope if Pat Bev stayed with Memphis. That would be a nasty squad. Like, you got Steven Adams, Pat Bev.
Yeah.
You got Desmond Bane.
I like Memphis.
Dylan Brooks. I like Memphis, too. I think they're going to do well this year.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. All right.
I think Milwaukee kind of got a little bit better. They got Grayson Allen. People are sleeping on Grayson Allen.
They did?
I still have some. Yeah.
What did that happen?
Memphis traded him. They traded. Memphis traded him.
For what, though?
They got. I don't even remember who they got in exchange.
That's wild,
but
though.
But Memphis was trying to dump salary so that they could get Pat Bev and Rondo.
Speaking of the Bucks, like, where are you at with them next season? Like, where do you think that they're going to because obviously right now you're picking Brooklyn, but I think the Bucks have a good chance at competing against Brooklyn, maybe in the conference finals. But I think they can actually win it and go on to the finals.
Milwaukee has proven to me that year in, year out, they're always going to be a top three team. Hands down, top three team. Mm-hmm. I think they will be number two this year. Normally, I have Philly. I don't believe in Philly right now. There's too much going on in Philly, or lack thereof. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know who. Yeah, I think they're the solid number two pick for this upcoming season.
Yeah.
Miami three. Yeah.
Man, I don't know about that. The Bulls three. Let's go. The Chicago Bulls.
Gosh.
The guy in your background, bro.
Just because it looks good, just because it looks good on paper, does that mean it's actually good?
It'll be good. Don't worry.
We'll see. We'll see. Speaking of next season, because I know myself, you, Lawrence, we can't wait for next season already. Let's talk about the opening week games. Mm-hmm. October 19th. That's a Tuesday. You have the Milwaukee Bucks going up against the Brooklyn Nets.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have winning that one?
The Nets. I think they're going to be bitter about it. They're going to try to, show out and dominate. James Harden's going to see Giannis put on his ring and be like, all right, bet. I'm going to go to work.
So Giannis is going to go off, but Brooklyn's going to win. That's my take.
Yeah. It's probably going to happen. Yeah.
Second game. You have the Warriors versus Lakers.
Ready for this? I'm going to go Warriors. And here's why.
Okay.
This always happens with LeBron and the Lakers. Like, they're going to lose these, like, really, well, not important, but really, like,
staple games.
Yeah. And then just show out in the playoffs. Like, right. I expect them to lose that game and also their Nets game on Christmas Day. Like, I expect them to lose both those games. Because they always, like, just don't play that well with those games. And then, like, completely just, like, destroy, like, the Pacers in just, like, the next game. Like, just, just like, that's how they are. It's how it is.
Yeah.
It's always how it is with them. So, that's my pick.
I have the Warriors winning if Klay Thompson is there.
For opening night? No. They said he might return Christmas Day.
I heard reports that it might be as early as November. Oh, wait, that's November. Never mind. October. So, I think I might go Lakers for that one.
Okay.
Also, real quick, before we move on, Kuminga for the Warriors during Summer League, he's that kid, man. Like that, he's no joke. He is no joke. Another steal for the and Warriors.
You have, I guess, Wiseman back, right? Or
Yeah, Wiseman would be back. That's a nice young team.
Yeah, for real.
I think it's a good balance of youth and veteran players. I think it's going to be interesting with the Warriors next season. Top three team for me coming out of the West.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
So Wednesday night, you have Boston versus New York. Who do you have winning that one?
Oof. I'm going to say Boston.
I'm going Boston as well.
Well, that is if Jaylen Brown is back, which I'm probably sure he will be, I think, right?
I think he should be back by then. Yeah. I feel like the Knicks, they're at home, but I feel like it's going to be one of those games where, like, you got new pieces. It'll be like a nice welcoming party for Kemba, but I think Boston is going to pull that one out.
That's wild. Kemba and Fournier against Boston. That's going to be pretty wild.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Yeah.
Then the late evening game, you have Denver versus Phoenix.
No one cares about them, so next.
I'm going to just say Suns. Suns got that one. Thursday night, you have Dallas versus Atlanta. I thought that was an interesting
one. Trey versus Luka.
Yeah.
I actually think the Dallas Mavericks got worse through free agency.
I agree.
So I'm going to go Atlanta.
Yeah, same. I'm going to Atlanta for that one. And then you have Clippers versus the Warriors.
Clippers got no Kawhi. They're going to go 0-82. The entire season. So
no Kawhi, no Pat Bev,
no Rondo, I guess. Yeah. But then they have.
Yeah, I'm going
Bobby Shmurda and PG. So, but either way, I'm still going with Warriors.
Same. Friday night, you have Brooklyn versus Philly. I'm going Brooklyn.
If Ben Simmons stays, Actually, no, I don't think he's gonna stay. Yeah, or Brooklyn. I think he's gonna leave.
And then the late game, you have Phoenix versus LA.
Oh, that I can't wait to see. I'm gonna go Phoenix that game. I don't know why. Like I'm very anti Lakers for the first few games, but
yeah, same. not because I don't believe in the Lakers. It's just I think early games, pains. LA just doesn't really care.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's more like a feeling out process. You know what I mean? Like, oh, let's mess around, see how this works.
Actually,
whereas
no,
like
wait.
The opposing team.
Go ahead.
We're like the opposing team is like it's the Lakers. We're gonna go all out. So like it's a different mm-hmm. output of effort, if you will, for those games.
Actually, I'm gonna rescind my guess. I'm gonna go Lakers because okay. It's the Phoenix Suns. Like they're gonna wanna get some revenge.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Oh, that's gonna okay.
Good game.
Let's move on to Christmas Day. This is what we'll go to wrap up the show. The first game at 12 noon, you have, again, Atlanta versus New York Knicks.
It's going to end with a Trae Young buzzer beater. So, I'm going to go Atlanta Hawks. You heard it here first.
I don't know if it'll end with a Trae Young buzzer beater, but for sure, you're going to get Trae Young's like shushing the crowd
and
a bow at the end of the game. That's or the, guaranteed.
Or the...
The tray.
I love that.
Ice tray. The second game at 2:30, you have Boston versus Milwaukee.
Bucks.
I'm going Bucks also.
Who's their power forward now? Is it going to be Tatum, I guess? Like, is it Tatum? Is he power forward or is he small forward? Oh, actually, no. I'm sorry. We're going to see Giannis getting defended by Al Horford. So, yeah, I'm going to go Bucks.
I don't know. You know, Time Lord just signed that extension. We might be seeing more.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm still Robert going Williams. Bucks, bro. I'm still going Bucks.
I think they're just going to dominate. The Bucks live for moments like this.
Mm-hmm.
The third game at 5 p.m., you have Golden State versus Phoenix.
Oof.
I'm going to go Golden State, actually.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
You got Iggy back Christmas Day. We might get an Iggy special.
Clay comes back, maybe. We'll see.
Clay, yeah. Christmas miracle. Fourth game, 8 p.m. You have Brooklyn at L.A.
I'm going Brooklyn, man. It just feels like that. Like it, I'm telling you, like for these like high stakes games, well, not high stakes, you know, like the those kind of games. It's just like Lakers fold, man. And like they just remember that one game last season. Like they're getting blown out. LeBron just sat down and just like was okay about it. He was like,
"I don't know what you want me to do, man. I did my thing."
Yeah.
I think Brooklyn wins that one. The eventual NBA champions will win that one.
Wait. Let's guess this. Will both teams be healthy by then? Still. let's ask that instead. I think that's the more important question. Will both teams be fully healthy?
I have a better question. Which team will be healthier by that day? Brooklyn or LA?
I'm going Taking Brooklyn, bets bro. Now.
Yo, I'm going Brooklyn also.
AD's going to go down the stairs and fall down. Like that's what happened. Like we're just going to deal with it.
You're going to see a headline on social media. Anthony Davis sneezes, blows out his back.
AD slips on banana peel at house. Broken leg out for the season. Like, oh, God.
Breaking news, Marc Gasol moves slower than originally believed.
Oh, man.
The nightcap, you have Dallas versus the Utah Jazz.
I'm not crazy about
it. It's kind of a boring one. Yeah.
Poor Jokic and the Nuggets.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah.
Not getting a game,
like,
yeah.
A lot of people were really upset, teammates especially. Like, we have the MVP, and you're not going to give us a Christmas Day game.
No, see, but that would be fun, though. Like, it's a national players kind of game. You got Luka, Porzingis.
If it was Dallas versus
Nuggets.
Yeah.
That would be pretty good.
Yeah.
That would be pretty fun. So
I agree. But
I guess no Jamal Murray. That's probably why. Makes sense.
Missed opportunity, man. Missed opportunity.
I know.
Sucks.
They saw Denver get swept in the second round. They were like, yeah, nah.
NBA execs are like, nah, we're not having it. Nah. Can't have a blowout down. On Christmas Day. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So that does it for today's episode. We want everybody to stay tuned for our next one because the next one we're going to do is really special. So what the plan is that we're going to discuss this documentary that was featured on Netflix. Now, what's the title of the documentary?
It is Untold: Malice at the Palace. And it was really good. I enjoyed it.
So just a little bit of a backstory. This is an notorious game that happened in the early 2000s between the Detroit Pistons and the Indiana Pacers, in which fight broke out, fans got involved, suspensions everywhere. Mm-hmm. Really kind of in its own ways changed the course of the NBA in one way or another. A lot of people don't realize. And the way we're going to go about doing it is because I actually lived it. I actually witnessed it, you know, live on TV. Mm-hmm. I'll just do two takes, one from what I recall and what I remember. And then we're going to dive into what we saw during the actual documentary. And if there's time, we'll also do the Space Jam one. Go ahead.
Also, I was alive during that game, but I was very young. Just disclaimer, yes. I'm not 12 years old.
You were like 5 or 6 at the time, probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So it'll be an interesting take. It'll be an interesting take to get on that.
Yeah.
I want to get your guys' perspective on that too. So stay tuned for that episode. Before we go, anything you want to add, plug, anything like that?
I'm good.
All right. Football season is back. I'm hyped for that.
Hey.
But until next week, everybody stay safe, stay healthy. We'll catch you guys next time.
This has been a Fuse Podcast original produced by yours truly, Nat, with music by Johnny C.